Amen. I will not keep you long. God has just been doing amazing things. We thank God for Miss Jeanette, our pro presenter person, who gave that amazing word. You'll see how true that is in a minute. But I also, this is one of our ministers that are about to be ordained this weekend. And God's been dealing with him concerning a word for our church. And he's been proven to be a man who hears from God. So would you share with us what you've been hearing?
Sure. Pastor Steve's been talking consistently about the church being in at a crisis point and transition, moving to a new level. And if you've been walking in the Spirit, you've sensed that anyway, right? Amen. And I believe that the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me about how a portion of that is going to look. Mm. You may have, your life may have been such that you had to grow up quickly. And what that meant is you had to take responsibility before you would normally have been expected to do so.
Wow.
And I believe that what the Lord is saying to me is that as we go through this transition, what thing is going to happen here is that people are going to grow up quickly.
Yes.
This is how the Lord first started speaking to me about it. He said, what's the most common question that you hear asked when the church comes together? And the most common question is this: what do you need the Lord to do for you?
Wow.
But he says what that question is going to change to this: Lord, here I am. Use me.
Yes, yes.
Here I am. What do you want me to do?
Yes.
And the difference, of course, between, you know, the problem, the bane of many Christians, the bane of many churches, is not that people are bad.
Hold that mic closer.
It's not that they're bad, but that they're immature.
Yes.
You know, the problem's in Corinth. He said, the problem is that you're babes.
Yes.
And that's why there was division and strife and struggle and jealousy and all that stuff. But the difference between maturity and immaturity, John writes to little children, young men. What was the difference from this level to this level? When you're at this level, you need everything done for you.
Yes.
And as you move into your teen years, you begin to take more responsibility for yourself, but you're still dependent on other people for some things.
Yes.
But when you become an adult, when you become mature, then you're able to take responsibility for other people.
That's it.
And although we will always have those coming in who are in need, those who are new, those who are immature, to deal with that harvest, we must be a mature church. We need many who grow up quickly.
Yes.
And so it's time to put aside, Paul says, I put aside childish things when I became a man.
Yes.
And the problems that most churches encounter of strife and division and all of that stuff, all of that stupid stuff, is baby stuff.
Yes.
You know, because somebody didn't put the bottle in my mouth, somebody didn't pamper me.
Amen.
And I tell you, I like preaching the strong meat, don't you?
Come on now.
And that strong meat is for the mature who are able to receive it. So I believe God's word, as part of this, what you're saying, part of this transition, is we're going to grow up quickly.
Amen. Wow, let's give God a hand. Listen, that is a right-on-time word, because if you've ever watched someone grow up quickly in the Lord, I've had words for people, and I said, you know, they were babes in Christ, first come to Christ. Some of them had just come out of prison, and the Lord gave me a word for them and said, listen, God said he's going to do a quick work in you. If you get a word like that, man, when he says quick work, I mean, within a year, you have outshined most of the people that you know. And if God gives a word like that to us, Lord, I receive it. Amen. Anybody else receive that word in here? I'm going to take just a couple minutes, but I want you to open up your Bibles, because we are in a series called Fight the Power. And I want to just say a couple verses before we go home, because God has already done the ministry today. First, Ephesians 6:12, going out of the King James Version. And welcome to all my interns. Can I get a see y'all? Let's give a hand to all my interns that came today and are helping. Amazing people. It says this, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let me just briefly say to that, no one likes to give up the power. The enemy does not like to give up what he has gained. But I need you to understand that what we are wrestling with is not each other. Sometimes the enemy will use the immature to cause confusion or hurt. But even the immature don't know that it's the spiritual forces at work. So we must love them through their immaturity. But it is a fight. The Bible says that in this world, there are things that you cannot see. And when God has his hand on your life, you better believe that those forces are going to try to stop you from becoming what God has called you to be. But I want you to know this truth. Jesus says, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the world. And he says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and all the power of the enemy cannot prosper against you. So no matter what the enemy tries to do, God is bigger, badder, and on the throne. So what does the enemy try to do to you and I? The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4, really quickly, but if, in the King James Version, please. We're going to go King James today. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Yes. In whom, but if our gospel be hid, start at verse 3. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Meaning that if we tell people about Jesus and that there's hope in life and they can't get it, and how many have seen people on your job that are like so out there and you want to say something and they fight you and they don't, they're like, I had a story this week. There was a worker on a job and she was a believer and she would listen to Christian music at her desk and have her Bible, and an atheist walked in and said, hey, I'm an atheist. And a lady looked at her and said, and that's your cubicle, and this is mine. You don't give ground because somebody don't like it. You know what I'm saying? But there are people who the gospel is hid, but we must understand why the gospel is hid to them that are lost. Let me show you why. In verse 4, here's what it says. In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. There's a spiritual force blinding people so they cannot see. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. We are dealing with something we cannot see that is blinding where? The mind. I need you to catch that. There's only one place he can touch. We've had people talk about, can Christians be possessed? Let me just tell you this. No. Now, that may come of a shock to some of you, but 1 John, if you read it, says that them that follow God, the evil one, can't touch him. Look at your neighbor and say, can't touch this. Turn to the other side and say, can't touch this. Then do the music. Da-na-na-na. No, I'm sorry. I couldn't help it. Couldn't help it. And so what he goes after, he's not going to stop doing that just because you got saved. Because salvation changes. The Bible says, for when you give your life to Jesus, old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. meaning that you are born again of the what? Spirit. But your mind hasn't been changed yet. You still got the memories, you got your experiences, you got the things you went through, and they still try to govern your life. And he still knows what used to work when you were in the world. So how do you battle this kind of stuff? How do you deal with this stuff? You know, the number one thing you got to understand, we've got to give God our thoughts and we've got to change the way we think. If you change the way you think, you will change the way you act. I'm not talking New Age stuff. I'm telling you that you're born again of the Spirit. He can't touch you. You've got the Holy Ghost in you. But the difference between immaturity and maturity is that the ones who are mature know who they are. When you're immature, you don't know who you are. So you're like, man, why is all this happening to me? Whereas a mature person would go, devil, stop this mess right now. Get back to your cage. That's the difference. You know, listen, I learned a story years ago about an evangelist that went to Africa. And while he was there, he was there and there was witch doctors. Now, let me tell you something. This stuff's real in Africa. They're all over the place. And there was witch doctors, and he came in bringing the gospel. And man, he was having success in the ministry, in the revivals at night. And he went to one of the huts that they had given him, and he was laying down on a mattress or bed that was up against the wall. And he was laying down asleep, and all of a sudden, he heard the shutters open, and then the bed starts shaking. Now, if you're an evangelist, and you're in another country, and your bed starts shaking, something's wrong. And he's shaking in the bed, and all of a sudden the bed slides from the wall. Boom! To the middle of the room. And if you're like me, well, let me tell you what he did. He was in the middle of the room, bed shaking like this, and he didn't see anything. But he says, devil, get out of here. Bed shook a little bit, windows blow open again, gone. He's sitting, no, he's in the middle of the room. See, this is the difference between immaturity and maturity. He's sitting on the cot and he looks where he is and he looks where that devil slid him off of the wall and he says, devil, get back in here. And the bed starts shaking again. Now put it back where you found it. Boom. That's maturity. See, he thinks differently. That's why when the enemy attacks, he attacks your mind. Because if you think like you're a victim, you will be the victim. You'll leave your cot in the middle of the room and just be glad the devil's gone. No! If he make him pay for coming on your property. I love the way Jesus talks. You know, everyone, you know, you watch Jesus of Nazareth and he, you know, he speaks and he's so smooth. He's got these like blue eyes and he's like, thus saith the Lord. Love thy neighbor as thyself. For this is the great commandment. Love the Lord thy God. And you're like, oh, that's so holy, right? But that ain't Jesus. I'm going to tell you now, Jesus didn't talk like that. I read when he messes, when the enemy tries to mess with him. Enemy, he walks into church and the enemy goes, oh, you're the Son of God. He goes, be quiet, man. Just shut up. Shut your mouth. And he did say mouth, M-O-U-F, mouth. That's my Jesus, by the way. So here's what he says. How are you supposed to react? Go to Matthew chapter 22, verse 36, Matthew 22, verse 36. So how? What are you supposed to do to get ready to be mature and to prepare yourself? Listen to what he says in the Steve Yates voice. A man came to him and said, Master, what is the great commandment in the law? What's the great one? Tell me what, because I like to make sure I get it right. And here's what he said, verse 37. Jesus said unto him, hey man, let me tell you what you should do. First thing you ought to do is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul. Watch this. And with all your mind. See, we get the heart and soul, but the thing we leave off is the mind. We give our heart to Jesus. We give our soul to Jesus, but have you given your mind to Jesus? Have you allowed him to rewrite what you have learned? Have you allowed him to teach you now who you are? Have you given all of your mind to him? I want to prove this by another verse, Romans 12. Verses 1 and 2. And this is where that word came today. Can we all read this together? Let's go. Stop right there. So first of all, he says, listen, maybe you didn't get this, but he wants you to give all your strength too. And so he says, present your body to God. Listen to me, saints, please. Many times we wait till somebody presents a problem to us. Then we rise. No, the mature thought is this, Lord, I present my body to you. What would you have me do? Amen. Did you hear the word that we got today? That's what he's, that's exactly how we're supposed to think. We don't say, well, somebody got to ask me and then, you know, I'll pray about it. We don't do that. We say, Lord, can you give me an opportunity? And when you show me, I'm going after it. They don't even have to ask me. Just present that body to Christ, what? Which is a, your what? We're not even talking about unreasonable. We're not asking you to give him everything and sell your 401k and, you know, all that. No, we're not asking you to cut your hair and put it in a box. We're not asking for all that. Because I would burn that thing if you give it to me. That's creepy. Anyway, he says, give your bodies to God's service. It's reasonable. He's not asking for everything, but he wants what you have. Because before you were born, he thought about the world needed you. That's why you're here. You know, I'm an African American. I'll just, you know, if you can't tell. And I wasn't born in the days of slavery. You know? I don't know what that means, but okay. I wasn't born in the days of slavery. So, you know, when people talk about, you know, this is what we talk about, you know, we're around each other. Man, if I was in the days of slavery, man, they couldn't be whipping on me. I wouldn't be no slave. Man, I'd be fighting. Da, 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 da. No, I wouldn't. I'd be broken. If it wasn't for God in that time. So God knew that there were men that had to bear that burden and could bear that burden at that time. But at this time, he's decided that you can bear the burden of this world. That's why you're here now. because he needed you in this world now. He doesn't need you 2,000 years from now. He needs you now. And it is the reasonable service. Look at this next verse. Let's read. Wow. Ooh-wee. That was the word we got today from the Lord. There is a renewing and a refreshing in this house. You are moving up in the spirit, and God is going to use you not only in the church, but in the world. I want you to look what it says. It says this, and be not conformed to this world. Let me explain what that means, and it's good to see you. Let me tell you what that means. To have to be conformed to this world means that you have to be, you are already shaped a certain way. And you have to let it shape you a different way. When God saved you, you're fundamentally different now. But if you don't allow him to have your mind, if you just keep watching the same things you watched, listening to the same music you listen to, talk the same way you talk, be around the same people that just brought you down before, you will be conformed to the image of this world. Lust of the flesh, pride of life, and lust of the eyes are of this world, and it's an enemy against God. That's conformation to this world. But then he says this word. I love this. He says, but be ye transformed. How? God, I don't want to be the same. God, I don't want to be like I am. God, I don't want to stay in this place. God, I'm tired of living the way I have. God, I'm tired of the burden on my life. God, I want change. I need change. I'm tired of the way things are. And he says, let me tell you how. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The word renewing in the Greek means to renovate. It means you got new furniture, new doors. You're looking out new windows. You got a brand new car in your spiritual driveway. You got a big bank account in your spiritual bank account. You know that whatever you need from God, God can give it to you. What he says, all you need is seek, ask, and knock, and the Lord will give it to you. He says, it's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. You got a bank account sitting waiting for you. You have to renew or renovate. Renovate. Refresh your mind. Do a reboot. Amen. Let it come on again to see who you really are. Yes. You have to let your mind change. It's that we're waiting on. It's that makes the difference. Be ye transformed, and when you allow this renewing of the mind, the battlefield where the enemy has always fought us, the battlefield where he has always conquered us, when you allow God's word in that battlefield, and you allow him to renew your mind, then you will know what that good and acceptable and perfect will of God is for your life. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to stop here and pick up next week about, and I want you to understand this, sometimes you have to encourage yourself. And I'm not talking just, I'll be all right. No. You have to renew your mind by the word. Your thoughts ain't get you no further than they got you now. You have to use different thoughts to get to where you want to be. And God said, let me have your mind and I'll change it all. This week, I want you to take that move with me. as we have seen God move today. And let's say, God, you can have the way I think. Stop telling yourself you're stupid. Stop telling yourself that you're nobody. Stop saying to yourself, it's got to be somebody else. God didn't, I'm ruined. My life is, I've wasted it. No, you haven't. If you're here today, you just got a reboot.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. You got a reboot, whether you liked it or not. So now you're ready. You're ready to shift and to watch things move in your life. Let me teach you how. I want you to come next week. Let me show you how to now take authority in your life to be able to fight the power. But I just need you to know this one thing. It's going to start with the way you think. So this week, I'll give you a chore. Write this down, please. One task. I want you, every time you say something negative, repeat something positive out of God's word. If you don't know what it is, then you need to find it. Ask somebody. Call the church. Find somebody mature. Look it up in your Bible. Buy a concordance. Look online. Google it. But every time, and I want you to watch yourself and see how many times you speak negative over your life. I just need you to see this, because that is the battlefield he has beat us in. But no longer. When we're done, man, he's going to be mad because we're taking back that territory. If you're in here with me and you believe that this can happen, put your hands together for God. Won't you stand to your feet?